is the Tom Likas Show.
Everything you say is the fucking truth, man.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
There's no doubt about it.
Tom Likas. Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to freemiumtom.com. That's freemiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of our program. We are appreciated. Here we are together again, you and me, doing things in different order on this edition of the Tom Likas Show because your professor has been attending the Dodger playoff games. And you will note that despite the fact that the Dodgers have lost two games in this series, every game your professor has attended has been a victory. And so I'm doing this for the benefit of all of us here in Southern California. I am going to all of the home games. And that means we do the show in different order at different times. And then it plays back. And in this particular case, we are joined by our friend, divorce attorney Adam Sachs, who is here in studio. And we did the show live in the 12 noon hour Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, so that it will ultimately replay in his regular time slot, which is 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And good to see you.
Hey, Tom. Is it noon? What am I doing here?
Well, it's noon if you're doing it live. It's certainly 3 or 6 or 9 p.m. or midnight if you're listening to the replay.
Unbelievable.
Yes. But, you know, we did all the hard work and figured it out, so you would appear in your regular time slot no matter what time we do the show.
Cool.
That's good, right?
I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
It's a different energy during the day, Tom.
Well, it is different. Yeah, you'll find the show goes faster for some reason. Mm. Time speeds up when we do the show in the noon hour. But I will tell you that we have no less fun. And, in fact, the phones light up. All kinds of things happen in all kinds of ways that don't happen the same way when we do the show at the regular time.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right. So here we are. You are here as the family law attorney.
Definitely.
And you always have something to say at the beginning. What did you have in mind today?
I was thinking of we were talking about Rupert Murdoch paying $1.7 billion twice.
Yes.
To two different women to get divorced.
Yes.
It was the true cost of romance.
Well, I tell you what, he could have hired a different hooker every day.
Oh, and they could have been very expensive ones, too.
Yeah, they could have been.
The very top of the line.
Still would have cost less than that.
Yes, no doubt. I was thinking about, I was sort of picturing you domesticated, Tom, mowing the lawn.
Yes.
Doing the barbecues on the weekends.
Imagine with me, like on an episode of Cops, I'm in the northern part of Phoenix where I'm shirtless. And I'm
of course, no shirt.
No shirt, mowing the lawn, and happy as a clam.
Oh, dear.
I actually was at that point.
And you know, the guy from Google, Brin, you know. I mean, here's another.
Sergey Brin.
Yeah, multi billionaire. And it turns out, oh, dear, Tom, he's cheating on his wife also.
I'm shocked.
Can you imagine the temptation of being that rich?
I just don't understand why people that rich get married at all. I don't get it.
It's really strange, isn't it?
I always say that marriage is for losers. Marriage is for poor people. Okay? Well. Because they need to share expenses. Share the rent. And so, you know, they don't have much to lose if they get divorced. So marriage is for them. But if you've got money, power, and or fame, what do you need marriage for? What
Especially
do you need?
That much money, Tom.
Right.
I was thinking about this thing. We were talking about red flags, Tom. And there are some that are subtle. There are some that are more subtle than you think. And there's a guy who called me this week, and he gave me the most fascinating, fascinating red flag, something that I don't know that we've discussed it before. There's definitely a vibe where a woman becomes really insane after she has a kid, and there's even a medical thing. They call it postpartum depression. which is after the birth of the child, the woman goes crazy, gets depressed or whatever. They give her happy pills. It's supposed to be because of hormonal imbalances, but I think it goes well beyond that.
Well, yes. But, you know, there's a lot of people. You know, it's interesting. We talked on this show about Viagra and Cialis. And
lovely medicines.
The reality is, if you're dating young, hot chicks, you don't need Viagra or Cialis. You need Viagra to look at Mrs. Bob Dole naked, or Cialis to look at Mrs. Mike Ditka naked.
Well, I remember you doing this on a show where it came to like three or four teases that you were going to give after the next commercial break, the cure to ED, which was, as I recall, YG. Young girl.
Young girls. Legal age, of course.
It was an all-natural conclusion. Hold on, I'm going to tell you after the break. So the bottom line is that this particular case is fascinating, Tom. After she had the baby, she goes every single weekend to be with her parents. And this is a fascinating thing. You know, there's a whole criticism today of men where women are coming on and saying how men are irresponsible and men don't grow up. And the big thing you hear, and it's on these like shows, The View and all this, the girls are complaining that the guy is addicted to his Xbox.
Right.
And that he's childish and he won't take responsibility and he won't support the family and he doesn't have a good job and he's a jerk and all he does is want to be like a perpetual adolescent. And yet you have women that the whole concept of getting married and setting up your own household is foreign to them. They have the child, but they're still their mother's daughter. And they're on the phone with the mother 2 hours a day, telling every detail of the marriage, including very embarrassing sex life stuff. And then the guy's working his ass off all week. And then on the weekend, she's not around.
Right.
She's going to her parents' house.
Right.
And she's sleeping in what was her room.
Right.
Except she's got a baby with her, for Christ's sake.
Right.
And, you know, grandmother's doting on the child. That's a nice little intergenerational thing. But I think there's a real question that women don't understand what marriage is. And what's really hilarious, Tom, and I just saw this continuously, and you've mentioned this many times, women will write this in personal ads. They'll say, my parents or my grandparents have been married for 46 years, and that's the kind of marriage that I want. That's the kind of relationship I want. They're still each other's best friends or whatever, and it's so cute. After 46 years, they still hold hands and all this crap. But we've talked about this, and your grandma was living a completely different life in a completely different world.
She didn't have her own Facebook pages.
Yeah.
891 friends, and 868 of them are guys your grandfather's never met. Your grandmother didn't have a cell phone and then a secret cell phone. Your grandmother did not have email and 16 different email addresses ending in 6969. It's a different era today. And your grandmother didn't post bikini shots of herself on Facebook so all these strange men can get a good look.
And grandma did not go every weekend to her parents' house. She understood that she was with her husband. And she was devoted to him, and she was cooking meals and washing his clothes. Again, personal ads, Tom. It's hilarious how many women will write, literally, I don't cook.
Right?
I don't clean. I wouldn't know where to start. Okay?
Why do I need you living in my house?
There was a movie lately called Don John. Did you see that, Tom?
I saw the title. I didn't see the movie.
It's a good movie. I enjoyed it very much. It raised a lot of interesting points. But one of the things that's in this particular scene, it's fascinating. He is very vain, the guy. And he has an apartment, and he talks about how much he likes to clean it and make it, like, really perfect. And they show a couple scenes of him, like, vacuuming and wiping, like, a mirror with a Fantastic. And he, like, does it once, and then he does it again. Well, he gets set up with this girl, Scarlett Johansson, of course. And she's telling him, clean your place? No. I have a maid. She's already 23 years old, and she's like telling him, I've got a maid, I don't clean, and you're not going to clean your place either. We're going to have my maid's going to go clean your place. And it's like, it's almost like a matter of pride that a woman is saying today, I'm not into the female arts. I'm not into the feminine arts. I'm not going to take care of a home and make it nice and snug and attractive for children and for you.
And on the weekends,
By the way, I think that's great if chicks feel that way.
Oh, really?
Just don't move into my house.
Well, that's the whole point, of course, Tom.
I don't want you in my house.
You're skipping that detail. Of course they want to be in your house.
They want to be in my house, and they want me to hire a maid. And the story you tell about Scarlett Johansson, what's really going on in a situation like that, in a movie like that, is the girlfriend is preparing for her ultimate appearance as a resident in the boyfriend's home. That's what's ultimately happening. It starts with having the maid clean both houses, and then it ends with people saying, well, why have her be paid to clean two places? We can have her clean just one place.
The problem is, and I think it's fascinating that women don't understand any of this in some way, is that she doesn't understand that she's not doing a proper cell job. Now, you've always said this, Tom. You always talked about the samples and Costco and all this. One of the things that a woman is doing, particularly, you know, in the early part of dating, is she's selling, essentially, herself to you.
Right.
She's telling you, can you imagine if you married me, how great your life would be? Let me show you, okay? I love to have sex all the time. I'm into sports. I'm into all the things that you're into. But then on the other hand, she's proudly telling you before you've met her in her personal ad, I don't cook, I don't clean, I'm overattached to my parents, I'm crazy, I'm going to be this big burden on you, you know? You have to think about, like, this thing women always complain that their husband becomes their third child, like classically, that they have two children, literally, but then they have their husband who's like this other child, and they have to like see to him and take care of him, and they're always complaining, oh, he, you know, if it wasn't for me, he'd starve to death. Remember that Carl's Jr. commercial and these other commercials that were insulting men?
Yes, they said it was a shot of a guy. You didn't even know what the commercial was for. It was a shot of a guy from behind staring at the meat counter.
In the supermarket.
In the supermarket, and then the camera would there be a camera on the other side, a shot at his face looking totally confused, and it just said one line. It said, Carl Jr., without us, some guys would starve.
Of course, right? Because men are so fucking incompetent, they couldn't possibly take care of or feed themselves, for that matter, right?
Don't they know how to make a hamburger anymore?
No, certainly not. They need wifey to take care of it. But the problem is that during this cell job that we're talking about, where we're all supposed to starve to death, at the same time, the woman is proudly telling you that she's so liberated and she's so modern that she doesn't know how to cook either.
Right.
She doesn't know how to clean either. And I think that what's funny, and you see this, by the way, I've noticed it also on articles that are posted on Facebook and stuff. There's a crossover where women are frustrated, and then they're angry. And it has to do with the same thing I said before, how men are immature and men won't grow up and all that. But part of their frustration, they don't even recognize, is actually built into the question itself. Because they themselves are also not able to do the things that they expect and men had classically expected from them. And so when you say this, and this is back to that book, Men on Strike, are men being stupid and crazy? No. Men are being rational.
Right.
Men are saying, what do I need you for? You don't enhance my life. You're proudly telling me that you don't cook, you don't clean, you're going to spend the weekends with your parents, so I'm going to work all week, I'm going to pay your fucking bills, and I'm never going to see you.
Right?
So what's the point?
Now, what about these, we talked about this, we touched on this, but I want to kind of bring this all into the picture
here. Of course,
sure. What about these websites now? Websites, and they are sections on Craigslist. Where people do something called co-parenting.
Oh, I love it.
Now, everybody who's married was supposedly co-parenting if they had kids. But no, co-parenting has a different meaning now. And that means you meet a complete stranger. You hook up with them for the purpose of procreation. You don't live together. You don't have a relationship together. And then you are each parenting the kid, meaning you're each paying the expenses of raising the kid and spending time with the kid. But there are guys stupidly getting on Craigslist and agreeing to these situations.
I'm sorry to say, it's the sickest thing I've ever heard. Co-parenting is a joke. It's something that you say in law, by the way.
Really?
Where, yeah, people that are at each other's throats have children, of course, getting divorced, and the judge talks about how they have to co-parent, so they have to, like, work together for the kids. But this co-parenting is even more absurd. What we're saying essentially is, as a woman, let's say, that you're going to pick a man who you don't really like, who you have nothing really in common with, you certainly don't love, But he's good looking, you know, and he's got good bone structure.
Right. So, or a high IQ.
Oh, yeah, he's real smart. Okay, fair enough. And you're going to have a baby with him, which is completely absurd, okay? And that the two of you are sort of as friends, you know, like you and I, Tom, working on a project, you know? The two of us, me and this woman, we're going to work on a project. It's going to be this baby. And we're going to raise the baby, you know, but we're going to be its parents, but the kid is going to somehow be okay and understand that we never loved each other and we weren't involved. And I don't know if they even have sex. It sounds like they might even do artificial insemination.
Well, I think they all have different arrangements, but I read this one story. I believe it was in the Huffington Post.
Oh, great.
Where a woman explained...
That's authoritative.
...to the reporter for the Huffington Post. The question was, what do you tell your kid about his father?
Can you imagine?
And the answer was, I tell my son that daddy and mommy are good friends, and we will always be good friends.
Right.
That's the explanation.
So this kid is going to be in therapy for the rest of his
life. Oh, it's insanity.
And it shows you how low our standards have fallen. That at one time, I'm talking to a modern woman, and she's telling me, you have to be my best friend, you have to be this incredible lover, you have to be compatible with me on every level, my confidant, you know, and I use your line, Tom. I say, but isn't your best friend your best friend?
Right.
How am I your fucking best friend?
The minute you have a relationship with someone, they start lying to you.
Well, that's necessary,
of course. That is the way it works, because you have too much of an emotional investment to tell the truth.
Of course.
You know, the truth is, well, I've been with all the hot guys, I've been with all the guys with the 14-inch personalities, and now you look like a reliable individual, so I'm going to settle for you.
How nice.
That's the truth.
You compliment me too much.
So you spend your time talking to your girlfriends. Remember that guy? That guy, I was having sex with him 27 times
my world.
A day. He was so great. You know, I still think about him. when I'm in bed with Poindexter, I'm always thinking about the guy with the motorcycle and the chains and the leather jacket. Oh, he was so hot. Remember him? Remember that time you were in the room watching the two of us going at, you know, they have these stories. And you know, here's the thing about the best friend. The best friend knows everything about your girl. Everything. She knows the name and the appearance and the dimensions of every guy she's ever had sex with.
Yep.
They have had sex with some of the same people. And she knows everything, including, you know, how big you are or are not, how you are in bed or how you are bad in bed. She knows everything about how you measure up to all the other ones. She knows everything. Couples are never best friends. They are, you know, the term marriage of convenience, I think, is redundant. I think all marriages are marriages of convenience.
Well, the real cruelty of it in that sense, right, is that because of your investment, you know, you can't be truthful. And it's hilarious how many women, again, personal ads, will say, the paramount thing for me, the most important thing for me is being faithful and honest and truthful and having great communication with one another. And you know, this is nonsense. If you were really truthful, the relationship wouldn't last for a minute.
Right.
I mean, seriously, if I told you, if a woman says to you, do I look fat in these pants? Does this dress me? Yes, sweetie, actually it does. And you know, that was pretty good, but I got a much better blowjob 2 years ago from this other girl.
Right.
Are you kidding?
You could never even think that much less say it.
Forget about it.
Exactly right.
She's complaining about you like you say to her friends and everything.
Now let's talk about a subject we have not talked about because it happened since the last time I saw you. Let's talk about the football player Adrian Peterson.
Oh God, Tom, what a nightmare.
As I understand this story, Adrian Peterson, who plays for the Minnesota Vikings, apparently knocked up some chick in South Dakota, which is near Minnesota, and did not know he was a father until... What was it? The week before the kid died?
Served with a lawsuit, basically.
Right. And conveniently and amazingly that same week, the kid is shaken to death by, well, somebody. They have a suspect who apparently is the woman's boyfriend. Now, here you have a guy who already has two kids by somebody else, has a kid by this woman, and God only knows where this was heading, but... You know what, first and foremost, Adrian Peterson is a well-liked individual, seems to be a bright guy, And yet, guys, it doesn't matter what they do for a living. Doesn't matter how smart or dumb they appear to be. Doesn't matter. They still go out and knock up random chicks. I don't get it. And, you know, a number of our guys, and this may sound cruel, but the truth must be told, a number of our guys said, well, now he's off the hook for all that child support.
Yeah, no shit.
Right?
But meanwhile, he meets the kid for the first time when he's about to be taken off life support.
Right.
Freaking tragedy.
Exactly.
And believe me, I hate to tell you about him, that woman, whoever she is, okay, is kicking herself because she had this fucking meal ticket. She got pregnant by a star, right?
Fine.
She had the lawsuit pending. She was set for the next 20 years, and now the kid's dead.
Right? So by the way, had he paid anything at that point other than voluntarily giving some money?
I don't think he knew about it or something. It was one of those surprises. You know this deal, Tom, where like a year later you get this call from this woman, remember me, asshole?
And this was apparently like the Maury show in that according to one of the stories I read, she had tested some other guy. And it turned out he was not the father.
Fabulous.
So then she made a beeline to Adrian Peterson, the NFL player.
You explain to me what kind of woman is having unprotected sex with so many guys that she literally doesn't know who the father of her child is.
Right.
Is that like, what is that? That's like crazy. That's monkey behavior. I mean, that's really primitive, disgusting stuff.
And by the way.
That's the lowest.
AIDS does exist.
All right.
There are heterosexuals who've gotten it. Okay.
Yeah, no kidding.
It is amazing to me that women just don't give a fuck. They will just go out there and, you know, the Maury show, I've seen women come back 10, 11 times, quote unquote, looking for the father of their son. And that's not just having sex with 10 or 11 guys. That's having sex with 10 or 11 guys in like a 6-week window.
I think that one of the things you have to recognize, Tom, is how much things have changed. And I don't mean even from like our parents' time, but even for the past 10 or 20 years.
Right.
When I was in high school, you know, it was the same as it's always been. Girls got pregnant. I remember, you know, girls that I knew, not for me, thank God, but girls that I knew from friends and whatnot that got pregnant. And they were like, you know, taking care of it and having an abortion very quietly and quickly.
Right.
I think with this MTV teen mom bullshit, I think they want to get pregnant.
Well, back in the day, I'm older than you.
They're happy to be pregnant.
Back in the day, when I was in high school in Selden, Long Island.
Oh, dear.
You had girls in the class who suddenly, and for no apparent reason, they had to leave and go spend some time with their aunt.
In Pennsylvania.
Somewhere else. And you never, when I was 13, 14, around 1969, 1970, you would never come to school and proudly announce that you were pregnant.
Right.
And you were going to have a baby.
Right.
You never did that. And nowadays, it's the way things are done.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
And I'm not saying things were better in the old days or back in my day. I'm just simply saying.
No, no.
I'm simply saying.
Shouldn't there be some shame associated with it?
What is this? Why don't we make pariahs out of these people? And especially guys who are going to pay the bill for this stuff if they allow it to happen.
Well.
And they do allow it to happen.
The extension of it also, Tom, that we talked about a lot of times, which is also surprising to me, is, you know, women loving the bad boys and all that other stuff. And I've always said to, especially my female clients, you know, okay, fine. If you can't help yourself, if you want to be with these scumbags, these motorcycle assholes, fine. Fuck your brains out, okay? But use birth control, for God's sake.
Right.
Women really believe that they're going to get somehow pregnant by this scumbag guy, and then they're going to change him, you know? They're going to work him out, you know? They're going to make him into this responsible guy. And they're so angry when they can't. And this thing that we talked about before so many times where women have an innate desire to change a man, and they believe that they can do it. It's sick. It's really sick.
I know.
The other thing that's funny, and this is my last little point that I wanted to cap off what I was telling you about this woman. She was going every weekend to her parents, even though she's like almost 30 and married and has kids, and spending literally from Friday afternoon to Monday afternoon with her mommy. While she was away, she was calling him and accusing him of cheating on her. See, that's female logic. So the fact is that he was busy working his ass off. She was running away every weekend. And to turn it around on him, she said, while I'm away, you're screwing another woman. With no evidence whatsoever, by the way. And he wasn't, by the way. I talked to him. He wasn't the type. He was working his ass off, what he thought, doing the right thing for his wife and his kids. And I got to tell you, Tom, that old doing the right thing ain't the right thing.
No, it's not. In matter of fact, you're doing the wrong thing.
Now, we love condom jungle and we love condoms and everything, Tom, but you know that condoms change the nature of sex substantially. And it doesn't feel the same for guys, and guys don't like condoms. And the reality is that when the woman says, hey, the hell with it, I don't care, most guys say, okay, fine, and just go unprotected. It's the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
And then considering the way birth control is that, you know, of 15 methods, they're all for women, basically, guys have a lot less control. I mean, I wonder if the world would be different, maybe in the future, if there was a man's pill or a shot or something that men could get. You think that men would start using that and start being more responsible?
Well, put it this way. I know for myself, I would take a pill every day.
Yeah.
As it is, I take vitamin supplements, I take, you know, CoQ10 and things like that.
Well, what if it had side effects or something? I mean, you know.
Well, put it this way. The biggest side effect of not taking the pill is having to pay for 25 years.
Well, the best is talking to a woman about the birth control pill for women, and they say, I don't want to take it because I'll get fat. And that's hilarious because you get pregnant, you're going to get a lot fatter, stupid.
Right.
Are you kidding?
Yes.
How can they say
well,
such
I like
a thing?
The ones. I like the ones who say they're, quote unquote, allergic to birth control.
Of course.
Now there are at least a dozen that I can think of.
Definitely.
Styles of birth control. And they're all different. You know, you have the pill. You have Depo-Provera, which is a shot. You got Norplant, which is an implant under your arm.
Right, but these are all the chemical ones. Okay.
Right.
There's also barrier ones that don't affect your body chemistry at all.
You've got cervical caps and diaphragms. You've got sponges. You've got sprays. I mean, how can you be allergic to all of them?
Yeah.
And the real truth is that you know, women are generally only talking about one thing. Either they're talking about condoms or they're talking about the pill.
Yeah.
And that's it. By the way, nothing more entertaining when a chick tells you she's allergic to condoms or she's allergic to latex.
Yeah, latex.
And you whip out the
non-latex condom.
Oh, that's great. I happen to have a non-latex one.
No
right
problem,
here.
Sweetheart. I got you covered.
Got it right here.
Well, the best was what you said. She says, oh, get that slimy thing off. I want to feel you. Yeah, you want to feel my fucking wallet.
That's right. For the next 25 years. That's what she wants to feel. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back with some phone calls. We are here with divorce attorney Adam Sachs. And it's free legal advice for you guys. All you have to do is call this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That is our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866. Adam is here to talk about family law. So that's, you know, of course, divorce, alimony. We call it vaginamony. Child support, child custody, prenups, postnups. And even that restraining order, which is always so much drama and so interesting to find out about. But if you've got legal questions or a family law expert, it's Adam Sachs here at 901-3000-866.
Kicking Earth's ass on TuneIn, iTunes, and at blowmeuptom.com. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry. You're not alone. up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back and get you back to that big, bald lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor. New Normal
Rock. I want to talk to you about DraftKings.com. You know, this football season, DraftKings.com could be crowning you its fantasy football millionaire. That's right. The winner of DraftKings Millionaire Grand Final gets $1 million. DraftKings, the new fun way to play fantasy football. It's one-day fantasy sports. It's not some drawn-out, season-long league where you play with a bunch of... I've done fantasy hockey, and I can tell you, you play with a bunch of weirdos who they want to make the draft go 28 rounds, and you sit on the phone for 3 or 4 hours. You don't have time for that. You want to win some money. That's right. And you can win serious cash with DraftKings.com every single week. It's super easy. Just select the right players, and you could wake up tomorrow morning with hundreds, thousands, maybe even $1 million in your wallet. So easy, they say. That one guy won $100,000 his very first time. $100,000 on day one. Right now, you get free entry into the Millionaire Grand Final. Enter Tom 101 at DraftKings.com for your free shot to be crowned a fantasy football millionaire. But here's what you got to do. You've got to enter Tom 101 today at DraftKings.com. For details and your free entry, visit DraftKings.com. Don't forget, you got to enter Tom 101. That's DraftKings.com. Likas show. And by the way, just so you know, if you are listening on Tuesday, October 15th, in the 12 o'clock hour on the West Coast, in the 3 o'clock hour on the East Coast, this is a brand spanking new edition of the Tom Likas show. And you can call in and talk with our guest, divorce attorney Adam Sachs, at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. 901-3000-866. Now, because I've been divorced repeatedly.
Four times. Famously.
Yes. I say repeatedly. People think it's 8 times, you know, but it's 4 times.
Yes, I've heard you've been accused of more than 4.
I have. But let me tell you this. I get calls from friends of mine who are thinking of bailing. And they want to know, and I'm going to ask you this question from a legal perspective. What should a guy do? Let's say, you know, she's just a bitch. She has no idea it's coming. And you have a chance to step up, initiate things, be the first one out. But I have guys asking me questions like this. What do I do about our bank account? What do I do about my money? What do I do about my property? Should I get a safe deposit box and put cash in it?
No.
Things like that. Now, what should these guys do? There's somebody out there right now thinking about getting out, and she doesn't know, so you're going to get the upper hand in any way you can. What should that person be doing, first and foremost?
You can't engage in dirty tricks, Tom. You just can't. There's too much to trace now. The idea that you're going to put millions of dollars in the Cayman Islands or into a safe deposit box is just not a good idea. It's craziness.
I know one person who put thousands of dollars in a safe deposit box and got away with it. And the way he did it was he had two kinds of income. He had a salary, And he had 1099 income from consulting work. He did other work.
Right.
Got paid for it. Let's say he did what I do. He, like, you know, you get paid to come in and do the radio show, and then you would do voiceovers, and you would get a check for that separately.
Right.
That would be reported not as a W-2 income, but as 1099 income. So I know somebody who took that money, put it in a safe deposit box, and had over $10,000 when he got out that she didn't have access.
All right, well, a few thousand maybe, but broadly speaking, I mean, the way things are now in traceability and so forth, and they do forensic accounting, you know, that's going to be income that you report. I mean, unless you're a criminal of some sort and you're in a cash-only drug deal business, if you're a consultant or a contractor, an independent contractor getting a 1099, that's going to come around. I think that's madness. You know, one of the things that I talk to guys about, and I sort of get an appraisal when I first, you know, talk to someone new, is I'll say, you know, what's the relationship like with your ex or your soon-to-be ex? It's like, are you guys still on speaking terms? You know, you'd be amazed how many people continue to have sex all the way through their divorce until, like, almost the end and even after the end. And they really are attracted to each other, but they can't get along or something. But there's a lot of people that are not in that position that are actually, you know, very hostile, and they've been sleeping in different bedrooms and shit like that. So,
well, let me give you an example. One of the questions I was once asked was, if I get an apartment and prepare to move to it, I'd be using our mutual money to do that. So is that a good idea to do?
Right, that's okay until the day you file, right? The money's still equally yours. Once you file the divorce, there's automatically a thing that are called ATROs, which are like sort of a freeze. They're like a temporary restraining order where you're not supposed to start selling stocks and property and moving money around. But the real thing that I've said, and this is what I was talking about just a second ago, is that if you're still on speaking terms, you can save yourself a lot of pain and a lot of trouble, legally speaking, fighting stuff out in court by sitting down, literally, the two of you, like you know, quote-unquote gentlemen, which is difficult because a woman's involved. But the bottom line is, look, honey, I'll take the Mercedes and you take the Cadillac. That's your car anyway. And I'm not going to fight you over the summer home, and you don't fight me over the boat. And, you know, I don't mind if you keep your 401, I'll keep mine. You know, I mean, if you can be smart like that and work that out, then you can resolve a lot of the issues in advance. That's smart.
But many
to do.
Times you're getting out because the other person is insane. Well, the two of you get insane when you're with each other.
What the hell do you do, Tom? I mean, the bottom line then is you're going to have mediation or intermediaries such as attorneys, and you're going to have a court decide. I've taken a lot of cases all the way to trial. And I hate to say it, but some of the times it seemed rather unnecessary. But it was because two people were fucked up. You know, a lot of times, and I think this happened in at least one or two of the divorces that you've had that you told me about, the woman comes in very bushy-eyed and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and she says, I'm going to take you for everything you've got. And
right.
You need to go through the first round where you go to court once or twice, and she realizes that's not going to happen. But you have to have the person sort of get disabused of that.
Right.
I have a guy now in a case that I'm doing right now, and he's a Tom Likas listener, of course.
Of course.
And, you know, he's in terrible, terrible financial shape. He's got a lot of debts, but his wife has got it in her head that they're rich. And she only looks at the bottom line of what he earns, which is a lot, but she doesn't look at their expenses and their debts. And so she's gotten it in her mind, with her lawyer, who hasn't been honest with her, unfortunately, that she's going to get $8,000 a month in spousal support. I mean, she has that as dogma in her mind. She has decided she's getting $8,000 a month in child support. No talking about it.
Right.
And her lawyer, instead of telling her, hey, I got to tell you something, sister, you ain't getting no $8,000. This guy's broke. He's playing along because he wants to kind of increase her anger and get her to, like, make the case drawn out. It makes more money for him in terms of hours.
Right.
So we're going to have to go to court. We're going to have to fight it out. She's going to get $1,000 in child support. And I mean, spousal support, and she's going to have to go home and cry. And then once she gets over that hump and she starts to realize the reality of the circumstances, the rest of the divorce will probably be pretty easy.
Yeah.
When people go in with expectations, you know, there are a lot of people, leaving finances aside, particularly women, who feel they've been wronged or whatever, and they think that they're going to get some kind of justice, that somehow the judge is going to say to their husband, you are a bad boy. You cheated on your wife. You're an asshole, and I don't like you. and they think they're going to get like vindicated or something. And there are people that are holding out for that, and they won't sign. They won't sign a settlement. They won't work things out because they're still pissed off, and they think they're going to somehow right that wrong or square that circle in court. And Tom, that's not how it works.
Right.
That's a complete waste of time.
You know, I feel sorry for some of these guys who, you know, they have no idea that they are about to get divorced, and they are not paying any attention. They have joint checking accounts and money being taken out in dribs and drabs, or maybe bigger dribs and bigger drabs. Time goes on. They're not paying any attention. They're not reading their statements. They're not paying attention to their bank balances. And suddenly they realize that their wives have taken all this money and been preparing, and they have an apartment, and or they have a roommate, or they have some setup where they're getting ready to go. This is war, and I think guys should be prepared for whatever might happen. And I do believe, now you look at the numbers, more than half of all American marriages end in divorce. And not only that, but the majority of American adults are single for the first time since we began keeping records in 1790.
Yeah, but if you think about even what you just said, it's very important. A lot of guys feel a lot of ambivalence. You're talking about a woman that they loved or they still love. She's the mother of their kids. They spent a lot of time together, you know, 10, 20 years or whatever. And I say what you're saying. I say, listen, you know, once it comes down to money and the love is gone, it's war. And you got to open your eyes to that. And it's very hard for a lot of guys to realize that. You know, Tom, one of the things that you've said quite a few times, aside from the whole divorce world, is you've said that dating is war.
Right.
And there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. There's no two ways about it. And it's amazing how many guys will not accept that. And I've talked, and not women, I'm not even talking about women. Women have this romantic bullshit. I'm talking about men that I'm saying to them, this is fucking war. Do you understand? And they go, no, come on, man. Don't talk about it that way. Like, they won't acknowledge it. And, you know, one of the great things about, you know, fixing a problem or solving a problem is that you first have to acknowledge that there is a problem. And when you're in denial and you're saying, no, she still loves me, it's okay, and people are always kind of telling me this, like, you know, I don't want you to freak out, Adam. I want you to go easy on her because, you know, she and I have an understanding or some bullshit. And then I end up talking to her lawyer, and her lawyer is going for the jugular. You know, so much for the understanding, you know,
right.
And people have to be able to acknowledge and say, look, this is very heavy stuff. This is going to affect your income, your property, your life in the future. And a lot of people, Tom, this is so true, and also in criminal cases, but certainly in family law cases, they will call me after it's over. So I get a guy who's gotten the shit deal of shit deals, either because he didn't have a lawyer or he had a very weak lawyer and he wanted to just give her whatever she wanted. So he gave away the story, figured that he would buy some kind of, you know, positive feeling or friendship or something for the future. And now he's got the worst possible settlement. And now it's been about a year. It's unlivable. He can't pay the expenses he's supposed to pay to her. He can't function in terms of the children. He can't function in his life. And he calls me and says, oh, what do I do now? Can you fix this?
Yeah.
And it's like this thing, fixing bad brake jobs.
Right.
I sit there and read this and I go, you sign this? Are you fucking kidding? Are you crazy?
Right.
Giving her, you know, 80 or 90% of his money, the house, the cars, all the other stuff. And it's the wife's desire, the ex-wife in this case, to get her pound of flesh.
Right.
To keep him poor in the future so he never starts again and never gets a new wife and a new life. And then she is refusing to work, staying home, living off this guy like a fucking parasite. And according to the agreement, this is supposed to go on indefinitely.
I think there are a lot of guys also. Their problem is that they don't want to admit they made a mistake.
Right.
So they stay. In other words, you would have to admit that you married the wrong person.
Well, it means that you're a failure, right? I mean, there's got to be some element to that. That's something that you touched upon in your, some of your stuff from the past I've heard you say. You had people call you, especially women, by the way, who would get bitchy with you and say, oh, yeah, what do you know? Like, if you had four marriages, blah, 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 blah. And I remember you would always say something along the lines of, look, you know, in the circumstances I grew up, my parents married for a very long time. I thought that this is the normal thing that you were supposed to do. And I kept trying to do it because I was trying to do the right thing in my life. And I felt like a failure that I couldn't accomplish what I was supposed to, you know, do normally. And in this context, It's definitely a lot of societal pressure. I think it's especially true on certain people from certain cultural backgrounds, like, I don't know, people that are Catholic, let's say, or Hispanics, you know, that have this cultural background of you're supposed to be married, you're supposed to have grandchildren, that whole thing. And to be able to go into the, you know, to the AA meeting and say, I'm an alcoholic. It's like you have to go in and say, I'm a failure. I got married and it doesn't fucking work. And it's amazing. People have tried everything. And I kind of feel in a way that I let people off the hook. I say to them, look, this doesn't work for anybody. You don't have to feel like a loser, you know? This is the way it is. And they go, well, my wife started acting crazy once we had a kid. I'm like, big fucking surprise. You know, you think you're the first person that this ever happened to? That's classic female behavior. And they go, oh, man, maybe you're right, you know? But only maybe, Tom.
Jesus. Are we going to take a break? We're going to come back with our final moments with divorce attorney Adam Sachs. 901-3000 Tom is our telephone number. In addition, you'll be getting Adam's phone number, all his contact information. Maybe you have something you need to discuss with him off the show. You'll be able to do that as well. It's all coming up.
You know what you want. This is the show that tells you how to get it. 901-3000 Tom. Tom Likas Show.
All right, boys, let's take a minute to talk about Allure Detail. Now, you've probably seen the amazing pictures I've posted to Facebook and blowmeuptom.com of the work done on my Tesla. Now, even though it's a pretty new car, Allure actually performed a paint correction, which removes all those light scratches and swirls you get in the finish. And then they apply something called Opticoat to protect the car for years. I have never seen paint look this good. Never. Now, it's an unreal, mirror-like, wet finish. And if you go look at the photos, you're going to see what I'm talking about. I mean, honestly, my Tesla may look better than the day I got it. It's Allure Detail at AllureDetail.com. They've been in business for 7 years. Family-owned and operated with over 18 five-star Yelp reviews and over 30 five-star customer lobby reviews. These guys do great work. And they come to you. They came to me. They do the work on my Tesla while I do the show. Mention my name and get a special $99 dressy detail with free paint inspection or 20% off any package they offer. Wheel scuff repair, paintless dent repair, windshield repair. These guys do it all. Check them out at AllureDetail.com. By the way, email them a picture of your car, and you'll get a free quote within 24 hours. It's our friends at Allure Detail at AllureDetail.com.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino show. Probably because that Dino won't stop doing stupid stuff. Dino will now eat 1 tablespoon of cinnamon. I know it sounds stupid and easy. But there it is. It's now in the mouth. And he's attempting to make something of it. Come on, dude. You can... Come on. Come on, dude.
Don't let him talk.
Guts. Glory. Stupidity.
It can't happen that fast.
The Gary and Dino Show.
Breathe through your nose, dude.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
Okay, boys, let's talk about step-ups. That's step-ups, top-quality insoles. Now, as you know, chicks bring so many deceiving tactics to the game, it's ridiculous. Fake knockers, nails, eyelashes, hair color. How about high heels? Women are never the height they appear to be. Well, now it's your turn to even the playing field, and that's where step-ups come in. With step-ups, anyone, even you, can be 2 inches taller instantly. Thanks to revolutionary technology, step-ups fit perfectly inside your shoe, and no one will ever know they're there. And while wearing step-ups, you can do anything you normally do. Get them now for the ridiculously low price of $21.95, and not only that, for a limited time only, enter coupon code TOM101 and get free lifetime replacement on your step-ups. Did you hear that? Lifetime replacement for Tom Likas Show listeners only. Plus, they'll throw in a free upgrade to priority shipping. Go to step-ups.com Walk-ups.com for a unique, ultra-comfortable walking on air experience. Life is short. You don't have to be. Get step-ups today. Tom Likas Show at 901-3000. Tom, that's our telephone number. 901-3000. Tom. 901-3000-866. Adam, before we run out of time, be sure to tell everybody where they can get in touch with you.
Oh, give me a call at toll-free 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Or send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com. Check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and I'm even on Facebook. And by the way, I answer my own phone.
I try it. Try
people
it right
still,
now.
People still can't believe it. Who is this?
Let's say hi to Edgar in Palmdale. Edgar, you're on the Tom Likas Show with divorce attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
How's it going, Tom? How's it going?
Great.
Lawyer, I forget your name. I'm sorry.
Adam, come on.
Adam, good to meet you, man. Quick question. I'm going through a little dilemma right now.
Okay.
I was recently split up with my baby mama.
Oh, dear.
We weren't married or nothing like that.
That's why you call her a baby mama and not your ex-wife.
Exactly, thankfully. But, yeah, so... The split included a restraining order, you know, a big fight escalated.
What did I tell you, Tom? This is a classic breakup now.
Yep.
You can't break up unless you have a restraining order.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happened? You got in a fight with her?
Well, I'm doing court, and I'm a little worried about it. I'm a little nervous. I've never been through this. I've never been married. This is my first child. And I just want to know what my rights is and how I could go about it.
Okay.
And, like, defend myself.
Well, let me tell you what ends up happening, and this is a crazy thing, okay? This is a thing called the VAWA, which is the Violence Against Women Act. And everyone has gone nuts about violence against women. There's plenty of violence against men, by the way, nobody cares about. Right. Nowadays, I don't know exactly what happened with your girl, but if she goes to the courthouse by herself and starts to cry, they send her to the self-help center, and the one thing that they know how to do is to set her up with a restraining order. That favors for her very much because she doesn't have to have a lawyer. There's no charge. The filing doesn't cost anything. And it's like, you know, there's no downside for her. If she goes forward and gets that restraining order at the hearing, which is coming up, I said, it sounds to me like you haven't had it yet. That's
Until October 29th.
All right, well, you better get yourself a lawyer, and you better take it seriously, because that restraining order, first of all, obviously you're not going to be able to have contact with her, but it's also registered on a national computer. That's something that could affect your job prospects in the future. You won't be able to own a gun. That's something that the police are going to see if they pull you over. But even more disturbing is the fact that you have a child with her, and that restraining order is going to figure very large in your circumstances in terms of visitation and custody. If you want to have joint custody and you want to see a lot of your child, you are going to have big problems because the judge is going to look at you like you're a scumbag because you beat up the mother of the child. And the less you have your child, obviously you see your child a lot less, but it also increases the amount of child support you're going to pay. So guys don't realize how significant the restraining order is, and I don't know what it came from. A lot of women exaggerate circumstances, and obviously you had some kind of a fight with her. That's why you broke up. But you must.
Her statement, and it's greatly exaggerated.
Of course, but Edgar, you must go to court with a lawyer. Please, don't do the restraining order hearing yourself. Judges don't like it. She's going to come in with the tissues and start crying, and she's going to tell this exaggerated story about how she's so terrified of you, and you're unpredictable, and you're violent, you're the member of a gang, and you're a drug addict, and all this other good stuff. And like I said, the end result, the really powerful result, is the long-term effect on your career, and certainly the effect on the visitation and custody with respect to your child. And you don't want to be in the position, I mean, you talk about, you know, equality, you're going to spend the next 18 years begging her to see your child. And she's going to do you a big favor once in a while. She's going to tell your child what a piece of shit you are. You're going to be driving to pick up your kid 2 hours because she moves to another county. And when you're like 5 minutes away, she's going to tell you, oh, guess what? The visit's canceled. That's the kind of BS that goes on nowadays.
Oh, no way.
Got to fight a restraining order. What actually happened in the fight? How, I mean, you didn't hit her or anything, did you?
No, like, I mean, no one struck each other. It wasn't a strike or nothing like that.
What about when the police called?
Yes, the police did come. They did not arrest anybody.
Classic.
They simply, I was intoxicated, so they simply asked me to leave
plus booze.
The home for the night. And I left and came back the next day to gather my stuff because, you know, I figured this is over. This is done. And as I was gathering my stuff, I got served with the restraining order.
You see how a woman, it's not enough to just break up. A woman needs a pound of flesh. And she wants to humiliate you, and she's going to tell your child and all her friends and everyone she knows what a piece of trash you are. There is no man in the world that a woman hates as much as the man that she's had children with. And you're inadequate, and you don't help her enough, you don't buy her diapers, whatever the hell it is. And a restraining order is just the crescendo of that. But the problem is that because of the society being what it is, with this big concern for women's rights and protecting women from domestic violence. And Tom, you've always said, right? Why is domestic violence worse than any other kind of violence? I mean, what the hell does that mean?
Right.
How is it any
less? We have laws against violence.
No, but how is it any different if you think about it, right? Poor Tom gets what? You get struck in the face in Washington, right? In an alley.
Right.
Now, explain to me that that's any different or any less significant than having it happen in a house with your girlfriend?
I agree. I just like the term violence against women. It implies that violence against men is acceptable.
Yeah, well, that's the joke of jokes. We hear about these women who cut a penis off, right? And on The View, they're sitting there laughing about it, and it's a big joke, and he deserved it, and ha, 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 right?
Right.
I mean, so that's funny, right? But on the other hand, the domestic violence, it's like you're worse than Hitler. Edgar, you can't be in that position. You got to be careful, okay?
Yeah, yeah, I sure will. And another thing,
so I want you to call me after the show.
Restraining order is against me.
Another one.
I'm sorry, let me interrupt real quick. I know the restraining order. I can't have any contact with her, which I haven't.
Who are we talking about? You have another restraining order?
No. The restraining order with the same restraining order with the baby mama. They granted her a temporary restraining order.
All right. Well, she went without. You'll love this, Tom. Talk about due process. She goes into court without even informing you, has a hearing, and gets the restraining order, and you don't even have a chance to respond until 3 weeks later you get a second hearing. So, meanwhile, the restraining order is in place right now, and you're a scumbag. You've got to turn in your guns.
The restraining order right now, during the temporary restraining order, she is still contacting me.
You'll stay the hell away from her.
Yeah, well, no, I have not responded to any of her contacts.
It all shows you.
Me, like, she needs this, the baby needs that.
It's fascinating that a lot of times a woman thinks is that somehow the restraining order is a way to get you back, that she's going to get the restraining order, and somehow it's going to make you behave better or make you more subservient to her, but somehow the relationship continues. And I've got these people that are showing up at each other's houses, and she's coming over, and she wants to have sex and all this, and it's like, what, she's got a fucking restraining order? What, are you crazy?
Right. Exactly.
By the way, that would work very much in your defense, Edgar. I could use that as your attorney. I could go into court and I could say to the court, why does she want a restraining order? She's been calling him 15 times. So you should keep copies of those calls.
Morning. You know, like it doesn't feel to me like it's someone that's in fear, you know.
Yeah,
like,
well, keep records of those calls, okay? And I want you to contact me after the show and fax me the paperwork, and I'm going to help you with this.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I would
no
love
problem.
That. Yeah, because I certainly need help, but I don't know at all what to do. Very blindsided by this, and I just want to do what's right, but I don't want to be taken advantage of.
I got to tell you that nowadays, a relationship doesn't end without a restraining order. It's almost normal.
And, you know, we used to say goodbye in other ways.
Yeah, really. Now it's a big fight. It's a big explosion. The police come, and then the next morning a restraining order comes.
Right. How romantic.
And the guy's literally packing up his stuff and getting served. And that's the way it goes.
Unbelievable.
It's like, what are you serving me this shit for? I was leaving anyway.
Right.
And then he's getting 15 calls from her.
Jesus.
Don't you still love me? What's going on? Where, you're not giving me money for the baby. It's like, I'm not supposed to be talking to you. What are you calling me for? Fuck off. Leave me alone. I don't think they understand, Tom. I swear.
I don't think they do. All right, Adam. We'll see you again next Tuesday.
Thank you.
We'll talk criminal law.
Can't wait.
We'll talk to all those people who've been accused of crimes.
But Jesus, Tom, what time Tuesday next week? You have a Dodgers game?
Depends on whether the Dodgers are making the World Series or not.
Oh, dear.
If the Dodgers are making the World Series, it'll be one time. And if they're not in the World Series, it'll be another time. We won't know. So just keep your eye on the sports pages, and we'll announce it here. In case Gary doesn't call, you will.
Oh, dear.
Now it's right here on the show.
All right. I think you called me this time, Tom.
I sent you an email, remember?
Skipped over Gary.
I did. I got right to the source. All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Adrian Peterson, the NFL player who lost the two-year-old son he didn't know he had. And we're going to talk about it. A lot of people got pissed when I talked about him on Facebook. We're going to talk about that coming up.
Get everything for just 27 cents a day at PremiumTom.com. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it is time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys of Gary Dino.
Better believe it.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine. TMZ Sports saying that Adrian Peterson did know about his child that months ago. He actually was notified.
Yep.
He suspected that he was indeed the child's father, and he went and got a DNA test, and it came back positive.
You are the father.
You are the father.
Yes, yeah. Adrian Peterson nosed it, and he knew it a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it was no great surprise.
No.
About 2 to 3 months ago, he was aware that he had a child.
Right.
And he, I guess according to the story, immediately stepped up to offer some cake. You know, basically a nice little cash grab.
Delicious
for our girl.
Cake is what he offered.
Yes, he is offering big slices of cake. Our girl saw the dollar signs and, it's now over.
Trizubble.
Huh?
Former San Diego Mayor Bob Filner has pleaded guilty to felony false imprisonment and two misdemeanor counts of battery.
Pled guilty. Yeah. I guess that's basically the prosecution said, here you go. Here's what you're looking at. Do you want to have a protracted fight or you just want to settle it right here and there? Tell me how my ass tastes. He pled guilty to false imprisonment.
The judge says the maximum sentence is 3 years in prison for the felony and 1 year for each misdemeanor and may be served concurrently. Sentencing is coming up on December 9th. Hope that dude goes to jail for a while. Be fucking fun.
And basically, even if he does, the definition of for a while is a joke with the overcrowded prison situation here in California. Good luck. He will spend very little time in jail.
Yeah. This is just great. An ex-girlfriend of Apple founder Steve Jobs now has written a book.
No, tell her how her ass
The Bite in the Apple.
Yep.
Describing her relationships with Jobs in the 70s prior to meeting his wife when they apparently spent their nights lovemaking.
Oh, Christ. Well, here's the thing. He was no nice dude at all. I mean, what are you going to say? He was basically professionally a dick. I'm sure he was a dick in real life, too. You know, every single day is a whole other ball game with Steve Jobs yelling at people and going crazy till he got his way. By the way, he's dead. Go ahead there, Chris Ann Brennan
is her name. She claims that he fathered a child of hers but denied it.
Yeah.
And subjected her to a stream of indignities, including evicting her from the bedroom in a house they rented together as roommates before he wanted the biggest room. I don't know what the fuck that's all about.
Yeah.
Apparently she didn't have much to write about, so she's writing about their fighting over who gets the biggest room.
Right. I guess our friend basically was always wanted to be the baller, and he was.
Did not see this coming at all. Katie Holmes, apparently, dating Jamie Foxx.
I know, man.
What?
It sucks that dude gets a tap in. And I'd have to see if Tom Cruise did a movie with Jamie Foxx ever, if it happened in some weird movie that I'm not sure of. But too bad that she's off the market because you figure she's ready to get down because she was held under the oppression of whatever she had doing there with Tom Cruise. Now she's free to move about the cabin, and she got onto the Fox train. Look out.
Right.
Look out.
In Touch magazine says that they've actually been dating for quite some time. Katie Holmes, only 34, by the way. A lot of people forget that.
Right.
Jamie Foxx, 45.
Yeah.
But if they're trying to keep this thing under wraps, I don't know why the two of them are riding bicycles around together. Is that a recent picture that I just saw?
I can't figure that out.
He's got one of those baby toters on the back.
Yeah. It's just stupid.
Okay.
It's dumb.
Right.
And there he is with the bike in the back.
And a couple of pick alerts for you.
Actually,
I guess,
that looks like that seat's for Tom Cruise, who wanted to be along
exactly.
for the ride.
A little
about
Tom
that
Cruise
size.
Tent.
It's the actual size. Tom Cruise is the size of a baby.
Right.
He's riding along.
In there reading his little Scientology book.
Yes, casting spells on people.
Yesterday was Unpretty Monday. Hashtag Unpretty Monday, apparently. Pick alert for you. Khloe Kardashian. I think the idea here is that attractive girls are supposed to tweet pictures of themselves without makeup on, and you get mm-hmm. to see what they really look like. But Khloe Kardashian isn't attractive to begin with. So
she just tweeted a picture of her all done up.
Right. It doesn't make any sense. She's got glasses on and her hair pulled back and stuff. We're supposed to think, oh, you're so attractive the other way. This is shocking.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. She did this looking for the attention.
Yeah, exactly.
She wanted everybody to tell her how great she is.
That's why she lives her life.
Right. And just go down and do important stuff there, Chloe, like chasing your alleged crack smoking husband down and figure out what the fuck he's doing.
Right.
Putting on glasses and looking sullen.
And finally, Paris Hilton apparently doing another shoot with Terry Richardson. Does anybody,
oh, wait a minute, another
does anybody
one?
Care?
Oh, no.
I'm assuming these are new pictures. It's dated October 13th.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it's like this really bizarre kind of
dominatrix
strap thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just it's so done. It's so over.
After you've seen the green, grainy 7-Eleven nighttime footage of Paris Hilton fucking.
Right.
Everything else is falls
just,
a little short.
Yeah, there's just nothing there anymore.
It just doesn't count then.
Yeah. And hear all the stories about guys having to scrub their genitals after fucking her.
Yes.
With household cleaner.
Right, because they're so freaked out. And others that may or may not have told the way that she had traveled with drugs.
Storing things in her cooch and stuff, allegedly. Yes.
Allegedly hiding.
Plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary Dino.
Like
check
drugs.
Out our podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you go. There's a brand new show for you every Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
We've been encouraging some of the small and medium-sized businesses out there to advertise on our show because radio has pretty much let them know they're not welcome with really high prices on their commercials. And our friends at Kelly Controls, they heard our call when we said, hey, small and medium-sized businesses, step it up. And here's Kelly Controls for all your industrial, electric, and system integration services throughout California. You just call Kelly Controls at 661-294-8000. Now, Kelly Controls specializes in PLC, automation, SCADA systems, variable frequency drives, instrumentation, and process and motion control. Kelly Controls can help you complete your project and get your equipment up and running quickly and professionally. All you have to do is call Kelly Controls at 661-294-8000. You got that? 661-294-8000, or you can visit them online at kellycontrols.com. And let me spell Kelly for you. KELLEY controls.com.
This is the new normal.